Now we've got cloudy skies at 75.
It's Bull's Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Bart and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Entering hour number two of Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Hopefully you are enjoying the beginning of your weekend and wrapping up your work week, but wherever you are and however you are listening to today's show, we appreciate you making us a part of your Friday afternoon into your Friday evening. And for our next caller, we're going to go all the way down to our state capital. One of our good buddies, we've had him on the show once before, and we'll have him on a lot more often throughout the course of the college football season, Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. Dunny, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Andy, how's it going?
Lovely, my man. Always a pleasure to talk to you. You've been a very busy man, fresh off a vacation about a week and a half ago. Then you had to make your way back to Columbus, Columbus to Chicago for a Big Ten Media Day. Holy cow, are you a busy man all over the place. So we appreciate you carving out some time on that busy schedule to talk to us. Let's begin with Big Ten Media Day that took place earlier this week in Chicago. What, if anything, new came out of Ohio State camp from Big Ten Media Day?
Really nothing. You know, everything that we kind of expected to hear, we did. No earth-shattering, breaking anything sort of news-wise, not just from Ohio State, but from everybody in the Big Ten, including Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. Everything was kind of status quo. Urban Meyer made a little bit of a shakeup by saying that he believes the Big Ten East is as good as the SEC East. When he coached down in Florida, you know, they had great conference battles down there. So that got a little bit of talk, but really there wasn't much to go on off of Big Ten Media Days.
Was there any backlash whatsoever at Big Ten Media Day as far as the conference deciding to play those six games on Friday nights this fall, which obviously complicates matters from a number of different perspectives, but did you hear any talk about any backlash about them playing those games on Friday nights?
Some schools have already said no. I believe Michigan said they were not going to do it. Northwestern has pushed really hard not to do it. Ohio State is, I believe, doing it once every 4 years in an early season game. Will be on that Friday night. I think the Big Ten was very surprised at the outpouring of support to not do it from not just the Big Ten schools, but from the high school athletic associations associated with the Big Ten in the states of Ohio, Indiana, Pennsylvania, and everybody else in the Big Ten.
Hey, Sean, talking about games on odd nights, the Ohio State Buckeyes opening up on a Thursday. Now, they've done that before, I remember, against Marshall not too long ago. But to open up against IU, a Big Ten opponent, what are thoughts from the coaching staff on that, did they say?
I think they're kind of excited about it. The reason being is because, you know, normally season openers you're going against William and Mary, you're going against some schools that, you know, you put the starters in for a half and you let everybody else go after it after that. This is a Big Ten game. First game means something. And so I think they're looking at it in the fact that, hey, it doesn't matter if it's a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll do it on whatever game. This is a Big Ten game. This means something in the long run. Remember, Ohio State in Urban Meyer's tenure has only won one Big Ten championship.
Donnie, I think to add to that, too, the idea that, you know, you're playing on a Thursday, that's not normally a day of the week that you really want to play, especially if you're a school as big and as powerful as Ohio State. But if there is a game that you're going to play on a Thursday night, wouldn't it be the opener simply because you're just so tired of knocking the crap out of your teammates the better part of 3 weeks? If you're going to play one game earlier in the week, wouldn't you rather it be the opener because you get to play that first game right off the bat than you get about 9 days to prepare for that second game?
Well, exactly, and you said that second game, 9 days prepare, that second game of the season is Oklahoma coming into the Shoe, the home opener on September 9th. But, you know, yes, you want to definitely, if you want to play a Thursday night game, you want it to be the opener. It's for exactly the same reasons you said. You're tired of hitting your own teammates. You like your teammates. At least you're supposed to. You know, you want to go out and hit somebody else and take it to them and to inflict your will. And it's also a good thing for Ohio State because there aren't many Thursday night games in the first week of the season. This puts all eyes on them.
We're talking with Sean Dunnigan, pride of the Solon Comets at WBNS-TV in Columbus, talking about some Ohio State football, Big Ten Media Day as well. I want to go back to this whole idea about playing on Friday nights. There's so many schools are so against playing on Friday nights. Then why do you think they decided to do this? Because with certain conferences, you get it. You understand why they would want to play on certain days of the week to get some games on national television. But the Big Ten doesn't necessarily have to have that. They've got their own network, for crying out loud.
And that's a big part of it, is because of the network. And Andy, I know you're a big fan of old school WWF wrestling. What did Ted DiBiase always say? Everybody's got a price. So this was the Big Ten's price of, hey, you know, let's float this out here. See what this looks like. See if we can get a little bit more run off it for some some Indianas and some Purdue's and some other schools, lower in the Big Ten that people might not think about, saying, hey, Friday Night Football, Big Ten Friday Night Football, this could be something.
Hey, Sean, you alluded to it a little earlier back in the conversation that Ohio State's only won one conference title under Urban Meyer. Obviously, they're always a favorite, it seems, year after year. But who are some of those teams that people feel could be a threat for the Buckeyes this season?
Obviously, the first threat that comes to mind is Penn State being in the same division. You know, Trace McSorley coming back at quarterback. A freak of a running back in Saquon Barkley, and I don't mean that in a bad way. This kid is an unbelievable athlete from all the videos we've seen over the summer of him working out. He is a beast to take down. Then you look at, that team up north. They graduated a lot of players last year. They can almost be like the Ohio State of last year. I believe they're the youngest team in the country when it comes to average age. They will be very tough to beat, as always. Michigan State, it might be another down year for them. They're looking to make a comeback from last year. And then you look at the other side of the division, you got your normal favorites. You got Wisconsin, you got Nebraska. The Big Ten it will be very tough to win, as always. But Ohio State's coming back with a lot of experience, and that will be a big thing going into the season.
Donnie, you mentioned the experience of the Buckeyes. They actually had a few guys at that Big Ten Media Day with some experience, defensive end Tyquan Lewis, center Billy Price, and linebacker Chris Worley. Well, what did you get from those three guys at Big Ten Media Day? I know they're not going to give you any groundbreaking stuff, but when you've got three guys there with that kind of experience, what were some of the things you took away from your conversations with those guys?
Well, Chris Worley we've been talking to all summer. He's actually one of our interns here at WBNS. He's wanting to go into the sports broadcasting industry when he's done playing college football, and then hopefully a long career in the National Football League. But you said they didn't give us anything special or anything. They're excited for one practice to start, which started on yesterday morning at 6:30 in the morning. That was fun to wake up for. They're just excited just to get after it. They're done of what they call track practice of the summer conditioning programs and the running and the lifting. They just want to go out and play football.
Well, I think that's perfectly understood. I think that certainly feeds back into what we discussed before when you brought up the billion-dollar man, Ted DiBiase, right? Everybody's got a price, and everybody's going to pay it. That's why they decided to play some of these games during the week. But if you're playing Thursday on the opener, it makes you wrap up these summer practices a little bit earlier than you get into your routine throughout the course of the season a little bit earlier, and I'm sure those guys are very, very anxious to get to that point in the year as well. While sometimes I'm sure it gets a little bit monotonous throughout the course of the season, I believe, just based on what we've heard over the years, it's even more monotonous when you're in the middle of those summer practices before you even enroll in classes and things like that. So I'm sure those guys are ready to get that one going. Dunny, before we cut you loose, you've got to tell this story. You came up for a Lake Erie Crusher game about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and
yep,
one of the things you shared with me was a story that you covered about a gentleman down in Columbus that has a house full, and that's not an exaggeration, a house full of collectibles, and amongst those collectibles, he had a puppet of a character for which I am named.
Yes, he did. The guy goes by the name of Mr. Puppet down here in Columbus. He goes out and does puppeteer and ventriloquist shows, but he is a huge collector of toys from TV shows from, I believe, the 50s all the way up to about 1981, he said. So we're talking everything from MASH to Underdog to the Flying Nun to the, you know, the Happy Days. And one of the shows is Night Court. He had a pretty big doll that is what you were named after in The Bull.
Yeah, but that picture of that Bull Shannon puppet is one of the absolute greatest things I've ever seen. Now, the kicker here, though, is, Donnie, correct me if I'm wrong, but these are items that he goes out and actively pursues at trade shows, so nothing that he has in his house is for sale.
No, correct. Yeah, he is not going to be parting with any of these things anytime soon. And if he doesn't go out for them, say, you know, some friends of his will be at some shows or flea markets and say, hey, text him, hey, do you have a lunchbox of the Flying Nun? He'll be like, of course I do. He'll get stuff that way as well. It's not just him going out, but he's got some friends that if they're out somewhere and they see something, they'll text him back, and if he doesn't have it, he'll fund them the money to grab it.
That's amazing. I mean,
we're talking over 4,000 pieces, over 4,000 toys in his basement and his house.
That's unbelievable.
It was like going through a museum.
That's exactly what those pictures look like. It looked like a museum of a hoarder that just has all kinds of crazy stuff compiled in his house. You just showed me the pictures of the basement. I mean, the rest of the house you mentioned was really decked out as well, but just wild, wild stuff. I wanted you to share that story just because you told me that off the air a few weeks ago, and I thought that was just too good to pass up. Donnie, we always appreciate the time, my man. Thanks so much for coming on the show. We'll definitely have to have you on again a little more consistently throughout the course of the college football season.
Absolutely. Anytime, Andy, you know that. Have a good one.
You too. That's